I need you to understand, God is the God of this city. He's the God of this county, the God of this state, the God of this country, the God of this planet. Okay? We need to understand that. This morning, I was going to just keep running in my line that I've been preaching on, but God put me on pause for this week because today is war on the floor. And we don't have to patty cake around the issues, do we? We see what's going on in our world, what's going on in this country right now. And the devil would like nothing more than to get the body of Christ, first and foremost, up in arms and scared. He wants you scared. The devil operates by fear. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to share some things this morning before we get into that. But I really, when I was praying, I was like, Lord, you want something different, don't you? Not. We're going to pray like our lives depend on it. That's what people need to start doing, because your life does depend on it. How many of you in your lifetime would have thought you'd ever see a government try to take your guns? Well, they kicked prayer out of school. You know what the church did? Let them. Because the church said, we don't need to be in government. I don't want the church organization in government. I want believers in government. When you get the org, I was talking to a brother the other day, when you get the organization, organizations get corrupt. Every organization will get corrupt if it's allowed to. But when you've got believers across the city, you know, I don't agree with a lot of things that go on in denominational churches. Just because it's just out of sheer archaic tradition that they refuse to believe the word of God. But the Church of Christ is not my enemy. The Baptist Church is not my enemy. The Quaker Church is not my enemy. They're my brothers and sisters. I don't agree with everything my brothers and sisters do. Come on, we didn't get along as kids on everything, right? Nothing changed when you got older. But you still love them. My brother needs me, I'm there. But we're going to, that's the realm we're going to be in this morning. But, you know, this song, I recognized it for once. I always hear this song by Seventh Day Slumber, and I'm like, honey, we got to do this song. I said, listen to the words. Honey, we do that one. We do? From the inside out. It's just got a little more guitars in it. And just 1 minute. Yeah, we got a couple things that. But I'm here to tell you, folks, God is moving on us from the inside out. You got to start letting him out. That's a problem. We don't let God out. We hold God in and say, God, you can't go beyond this. I don't want to, Lord, I don't want people to know who I am as a Christian. I don't want the devil. Listen, it's one thing for you to get out in attention with people, right? You know, you get out there and, oh, yeah, I know. People in this county know who I am because I'm a minister and I'm in the paper. But I don't care about who all knows who I am. They know I'm a preacher. Does the devil know who I am? Y'all remember the seven sons of Sceva? Come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Those devils said, Jesus we know. How'd they know him? Because he let God out. Paul we know. He let God out. But who are you? It didn't end well for them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want the devils in hell to shake every time we assemble as brothers and sisters. You can send 100 Marines to an embassy. I'm going to tell you right now, the second that they sent that, every one of them terrorists start shaking. That's the way I want the devil to be when you walk into this church. Say, oh, Lord, they've assembled. They've got their war face on, and they're ready to rock and roll. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you said you had a vision.
During the worship, what I see in this group of fellowship, I see this pole coming up out of the building, and I saw these gold satin ribbons that are like the craft ribbons with the wire, and velvet and glitter on the side of them, and they were being stretched over every part of Mount Gilead. And then I heard the scripture, stretch out your tent pegs, and I see, many times I've seen before now, in the worship, I see the music going out, and I see it declaring over not just the city, but for now it's concentrated
right
on the city. And the scripture from John 4, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And especially with the drums, I hear it going out in the spirit. And after I saw the ribbons, at one point, I heard when he was drumming like the crescendo kind of from the monument downtown, this big breaker wave going out. And so I just exhort you.
Praise God. Amen.
Because
amen.
Something happens in the worship here when it goes out, and it will start.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That just confirms some things we were actually talking about the other day. You know, I know a lot of people want to know, well, what are we doing? Listen, we do all kinds of things. We aren't out there showing you what we do. But God has told me and showed me, and I've shared this before. Some of you may need to hear it again. We are an occupying force, repelling an enemy's assault. But it's against religion. God showed me that shortly after we started this church. Mount Gilead. People don't know how to pronounce the name because it's biblical. Canaan Township, the oldest building in the city, at least, is what, folks? You know what it is. The oldest church. The home of the first pastor. Those things are the heritage of Mount Gilead. Mount Gilead was known for healing. And ladies and gentlemen, religion has crept into this community years ago, and it's killing people spiritually. Oh, they go to church faithfully, but they're dead inside. They don't know God. And holding this assault off, you need to understand, this will help you out here. I promise I'll get to this. What's going on in the embassy right now? There are Marines in the embassy before they sent those 100 from 22nd Mew. There was already Marines inside with weapons. They sent more to reinforce those that were in there. Those that were in there were holding off an assault. And you need to understand, that's what we are. Mount Gilead is God's embassy. It was named in honor for God. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we're so close to the heart of this state. It's not a coincidence that we're touched by 5 counties, that we have major highways running through this county. Don't think you're not doing anything. Don't think it. Well, I'll carry on here in a minute with that, but that's where I wanted to go. But thank you. Amen. Yep. Yep. And the more Gideon. That's why I quit testing God. God, I don't need to. I would rather go in with 20,000 than 300. y'all have heard me talk about that, right?
Yes.
I believe every time Gideon tested God, God tested Gideon back.
That's right.
And it's like, 20,000? Yeah, you're feeling pretty good. But you go against 20,000 with 300,
yes.
You got to have some intestinal fortitude and trust that God knows what he's doing. So amen, amen, praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering. I want you to remember today is war on the floor. And like I said, we're going to pray. You got a prayer language? I want you praying today. I don't want you being quiet. This is church. You got questions about prayer languages? We'll talk. But I need you to understand, now is the time for us to rise up and pray and not be afraid to drop a shoulder and charge at the enemy. Amen. Praise God. Father God in heaven, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for the many great, wonderful things you've done for us. Father, we thank you to have entered a new year in our calendar. Father, it doesn't represent anything other than just timekeeping. But Father, for us, we take a stand. We use it as renewal of our faith, that we are not backing down. We are not going to falter. We will get back up when we're knocked down. Father, that we'll look to our brother or our sister and we will lift them up. We will carry them when it is necessary. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving. And Father, we bring to you today our tithe and our offering. I present it to you, Lord God, as holy. And now, Father, I ask that you move. You continue to move in the lives of your believers. Father, those who trust in your name. Oh, Father, we present it to you today as holy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. We stopped over at Joshua and Tony's last night, and Tony opens the door, and Carter was there, and you know, it's kind of dark, but when we started coming around, he was standing there. Folks, I just got to think about how it's going to be when we see God. He started jumping up and down. He was excited to see us. You know, people don't get excited to come to church. Maybe I'm not good enough. You're right, you're not. You'll never be good enough to come to church. Your pride didn't keep you from doing the stupid stuff you did last night or the past weekend. So why should you let it keep you from coming to the one place you can be healed? It just breaks my heart when people won't come to church. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to tell you, we are in the last days. Look around. I'm not going to tell you Jesus is coming back tomorrow or this fall. That's not my call. Even Jesus don't know when he's coming back. Except the Father. He's the only one who knows when that order goes out. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a reason why God has never spoken exactly when things are going to happen. Do you know, ever pay attention that, you know, the devil knows a little bit. Okay, I have to believe he knows just a little bit. He's enough to be dangerous. Okay, the term would be he's going off half-cocked. He's a dangerous thing. He didn't know when Jesus was to be born. He didn't know exactly where. He didn't know certain details. This was kept from him. Thank you, sir. This was kept from him. Why? Because had he known, he would have worked to destroy before it happened. You want a really good example of the difference between surprising your enemy and letting them know what you're doing? In 2003, we told Iraq we're invading. I have heard numerous accounts of people saying, satellite images show huge convoys going into Syria. Last week, we didn't tell the enemy his time was up. Oh, but Pastor, don't you think this is World War III? Oh, my. We've been in World War III since 2003. The Selective Service, their phones are jammed up because people are worried about a draft. We haven't needed it since 2003. We ain't going to be drafting people because they know to stand up. Well, don't you think this is going to anger the Ayatollah? If God were to let me, I would go to Iran myself and join. But my battle's here. By the way, y'all remember this African by the name of Muammar Gaddafi? Anybody remember anything back in the 80s? And a certain rogue president said, we're not going to put up with it. And we bombed his house. Does anybody remember the name Muammar Gaddafi from that point until just in the last 5 to 10 years? He went underground. God's not going to let anything happen to this country right now. Not while the people of God are willing to stand up and pray. We got to pray for our leaders. That's why we pray for our leaders. I'm not worried about war. We've been in war. We have been in it already. Aren't you worried they're going to take your sons? Absolutely not. Not if I fight my fight here. Not if I pray like I'm supposed to be praying, not, well, Lord, we pray. Man, I don't believe that. I'm not getting all emotion. When I get emotional, it's real emotion. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes against the devil, it's anger. It's holy, righteous anger of what the devil is being allowed to do because the church wants to keep playing patty cake. It's time for the gloves to come off. It's not about building gigantic memorials unto ourselves. It's about taking this country back, and we ain't going to do it in auditoriums, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. That's a great way to get out there and get the message out. But you're only going to keep them if the church is strong and keeping them in. I was part of the Bill Glass Crusade years and years. Anybody else remember that? You're going to have to be older than or younger. No, yeah, you're going to be at least my age. I had to start doing the math. I think it was 88. It was the spring of 88 because we held it at Highland. And I know Angela was one. We were counselors. We led people to the Lord. We prayed with them. And, you know, and we prayed with lots and lots of people. You know, the church didn't grow. Because the church has been more focused about trying to figure out how to get new people in than to keep the ones they've got. I'm not worried about trying to get people in. I've always prayed, God, you send the people I need and who need me. And I'll do my job to keep them. And if they are supposed to go somewhere else, you can ask anybody. I have said, if that's what God has told you, then you need to do it. I don't need two thumbs on the same hand. Let me reiterate, I need two thumbs. But folks, this community, this is our home. If we let our home fall because we won't pray, because we won't believe, we won't stand. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not going to march up and down the street and start casting out spirits. I've walked around this town at 2 a.m. praying. There are places I can guarantee you I feel more oppression in the spirit than any other places. The church shouldn't be one of them. There should not be oppression in the church. When people come in here, they should feel free. They should feel safe. Yes. Right now, there's people in the church and politicians, which I really don't give a rip what they think. I don't think the church should be armed. That's the first mistake. Last week proved it. 6 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005, 1006. When we started our security team, I told the guys after a little bit and we started, I wanted to find out how many shots are going off of a semi-automatic rifle every 4 seconds. There's a bullet coming out. You can ask them. We train. I'm here to tell you. Every one of us can shoot and kill in under 4. And I'm the slow one. But I'm telling you, that's why the devil thinks he can run roughshod, because the church has said, we don't need it. We took flack because we said, we're going to arm ourselves. Well, the Bible says that we shouldn't. We should turn the other cheek. Why don't you dig a little more into the studies of what it means to be offended? Y'all remember Bugs Bunny, right? Whenever him and Daffy Duck and Bugs would pull off that white glove, which should be concerning to everybody because that's skin. He pulls off his white glove and he slaps Daffy. Y'all catch what I just said? That's where that comes from. It's an offense. Will there be people murdered? Absolutely. There's people being murdered every day. The church is quiet. We won't pray. We're too worried about building our ministries. The people around the world are our ministry. They were Jesus' ministry. Jesus told his disciples the night he was to be betrayed on the way to the garden. He said, before I told you, don't take a purse or extra clothes or a sword. Now I tell you to take one. And Peter, in his infinite wisdom, thinking he had one over him, Jesus said, we got two. Pastor, it sounds like you're trying to stir up fear. Absolutely not. But I'm telling you, you got to know how to you're living in fear. Regardless. I mean, I'm not, you need to help, let me help you out on that. When I say you're living in fear, every day of your life, fear is around you. You need to know how to operate it and how to overcome it. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the overcoming of fear. Yes. See, ladies and gentlemen, I've come to realize that was the one thing I lacked as a Marine. I spent 3 months in boot camp. It was a great transformation, but it took another year for everything to settle down. Well, they can't make me kill anybody. It wasn't about that. Marines really don't want to kill. Nobody in the military wants to kill. But what it boiled down to was, would I defend her? Would I defend you and you? I didn't know you guys at the time. Would I defend them? The only reason I didn't want to kill was because I didn't want to give the chance to be killed. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is afraid of death. The word says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? We've looked at it wrong. I'm not offering to go out there and be cannon fodder. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to lay down. But what I'm telling you is, when you're afraid to die, you're going to die. That's all there is to it. Death is a very real thing, and it will ruin your life. I began to live after I realized what was happening. I was living in fear. And when you no longer fear death, what can take you? What are you going to fear, Tim? Death. Death is the one thing we know absolutely nothing about. We got 10 people who've died. They come back. You're going to get slightly different versions. But nobody here has died that I'm aware of. Maybe, okay. If we live in fear of dying all the time, we will never live. And that's what the devil wants for this country. That's why we need to pray for this country. That's why we need to see believers praying. Jesus didn't say, my house shall be called a house of great crusade meetings. Anybody remember where he was at when he did these crusades of his own? He was in the marketplace. He was at the well getting a drink of water. He was on the hillside having a picnic. He took advantage of what came. He never planned them out. The only thing that I've got recollection of him ever planning was the Last Supper. Go make preparations. Remember, they're going through the walking the countryside on the Sabbath. Man, Jesus, I'm hungry. They didn't even take preparation for food. I said, here, there's a wheat field. Go by. Start eating the kernels. He went to go to a fig tree, and the fig tree didn't have anything. He cursed it. We're living in an exciting time. And I'm here to tell you, if God didn't think you couldn't handle it, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be in this time. I always thought I'd love to live during General Washington's time. You know, it's like, yeah, the revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the real revolution. You're a psycho. You just caught on. No. Yes, it was uncomfortable back then. People had to do something. And I wish I could remember the name of the preacher. Was he in Philadelphia? And he had been in Philadelphia. Yeah, he was in Philadelphia, I think. And on that Sunday morning, and he came riding into his congregation, and he had his robe on. And he got up, and he started telling them, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to war. We're going to fight England. And then he took his robe off and laid it down, and he was wearing a uniform and a sword. I'm here to tell you, we do have a war to fight, and I think the war is going to be a lot easier if we pray. We won't have to come to brother killing brother if the church will pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Our land needs healed. It needs healed from centuries of religion. It needs healed from the separation of races, of ethnic groups. Right now we're just focused on the black-white relationship, but it wasn't too long ago, if you were of Irish descent, you were treated